R-O-C-H-E is what
it is. R-O-C-H-E. Yeah,
I remember him.
But his father was chairman at General Motors. Doug, a nice man. But hadn't been on the Board of Law Examiners as long as Stanley was, and wasn't the same, didn't have the same confidence that Stanley did in what we were doing. But I had prepared a resolution of the Board of Law Examiners. You know, be it resolved, Thomas and Cooley is a reputable, qualified under the statute, etc., etc., and their graduates can take the bar exam. And I asked Stanley to sign it. Shortly, he said, no problem, he signed it. And I said, now, Stan, we're going to have breakfast with Doug Roche, and I'd like to, let's see if we can get Doug to come in on this with us. So we had breakfast and a long chat and back and forth and over the, or maybe Stanley signed it at breakfast after talking to Roche, I don't know. But anyway, I came away from that breakfast with two signatures, Doug Roche and Stanley Beatty. Then the next day I drove, it was a Sunday, I drove to Detroit, went to church in, at Jesu, and went out to Leonard Hyman's home in Oakland County, and Leonard Hyman was the third member of the Board of Law Examiners, and I brought him the original document, and he signed it. I then came back to Lansing on the following day, which was a Monday, and went over to Stuart Dunning's office here in downtown Lansing, and Stuart signed it. And then, in the meantime, I had called on the telephone Dick Spindle, who was the fifth member of the Board of Law Examiners and a young lawyer in Grand Rapids. And I sent my son Tom to Grand Rapids with the original document to have Dick Spindle sign it, and he did. So by supper time on Monday, I had all five signatures on that resolution. That really was what started Kelman and Company going. Because at that point in time, now it was no longer an unfeasible little experiment, storefront law school. We were here to stay. Our graduates were going to take the Michigan Bar Exam. Even if the ABA didn't approve us, we were an existing law school that whose graduates could become lawyers. And as far as I was concerned, that was the real assurance that we were off and running. Shortly after that, Kelman wrote his memorandum in which he accused me of a conflict of interest.
That's your first horn sounded on that subject,
yep.
Right?
Yeah. Well, other than the sort of prophetic use of the phrase conflict of interest coming out of my pen when I accused that those people on that board of having a conflict of interest. So when the phrase came back later on and hit me in the head, I thought to myself, well, you live by the sword, you die by the sword, you know, so I suppose one ought to expect it. But in any case, Kelman wrote this, and this was his theory, if you remember. His theory was that I was a justice of the Michigan Supreme Court and that I was using the power and prestige of my office for personal gain by creating this law school, and that I had used the power and prestige of my office to lean on the members of the board examiners who in effect work for the Supreme Court to get them to approve the law school. And what's amusing about that is that it's half right. Because, yes, I was a justice of the Supreme Court. Whatever power and prestige and respect that office carried, I did lend to the creation of the law school. I mean, I went out front. It was Judge Brennan's law school. Judge Brennan was starting. That's why people wanted to come to the school. And certainly there's no question in my mind that one of the reasons Stanley Beatty and the rest of those guys signed that resolution was that the former Chief Justice of the Michigan Supreme Court was one of the organizers of this law school. And there were other judges and people of prestige. Anybody we got on the board, they had to be somebody. We wanted people with good reputations, with good standing in the community. Why? so that their respect and standing in the community would reflect favorably on the school and would help the school. So of course my prestige was being used to help the school. But that was no conflict of interest. It was not for personal gain. It was to accomplish something for a charitable educational institution. At the very same time that I was doing this, Bill Richardson, who was the Chief Justice of the state of Hawaii, was using all of his influence and power to start a law school in Hawaii, which later became